Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of, the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Thank you also very much for tuning in this evening. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. And I want to thank all of my listening audience from around the world, and we did some preparation. As a matter of fact, we just got back from Atlanta last evening, where we did some additional preparations for this upcoming show, as well as some future shows that we're going to be having. Thank all of you all for participating last week. Those of you all, and we always say this, those of you all that we're not able to get to each and every week, we do apologize for that. Even the comments that are sent in, we do certainly do apologize for that as well. To that group out there in Canada and San Diego, the new individuals that we've met out there, and we've done live shows with individuals out in San Diego a few weeks ago, I want to tell you that we appreciate that. And to the captain of the ship that allowed us aboard to do a live show, we also thank you for that as well. Those of you all that haven't been to San Diego, California, I suggest you get out there and go by the water. They've got a special area out there that is absolutely breathtaking, so I encourage you to do that. All my friends over in Mexico, Tijuana, I want to thank you also for tuning in and offering us the opportunity to do live shows over there while we were there for nearly a month, and then after that for about 15 days. So we look forward to rejoining you all in the very upcoming months. We'll be back over there to do some live shows. I also want to thank all of you all that have been with us for nearly 7 years. May will be our seven-year mark, and we certainly want to thank all of you all for being faithful listeners and tuning in to the broadcast. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you need to listen by way of internet, you can simply go to drjessewalker.com or Dr. Jesse Walker Inc. Either one of those will bring in, you can tune in live. This show tonight will air 20 minutes broadcast in its entirety. So be sure to tune in to the broadcast tonight. And I'm certain for those of you all that may be participating or hearing, or you know that you're traveling, and we find that a lot of people during this time are traveling, and you can certainly go into an archive show. Check out my website for my book, After the Passion, Now What? It's also out there with Amazon. And, of course, our other services. We want to also wish my former co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. We want to wish her much success as she has began her own radio show, which is an offbeat of this show. So we've given her that opportunity, and now she's gone on to bigger and perhaps better things. And I just want to wish her well, and once in a while she stops by this audience to make her valuable contribution. So, Ms. Blake, we certainly wish you well. We've got some future upcoming shows. We're going to do a part one of this counseling really work. Tonight's broadcast is, does God impose his will on people when it comes to relationships or marriage? And this is only part one. We're going to be doing a follow-up to this, so you will have that opportunity. Let's go ahead and bring in our featured guest. He'll tell you a little bit about himself. He's Dr. Rupert Bushner, Jr., and he's a pastor for a church, and he's been ministering for a while, but he will come in on tell you a little bit about himself, that is whatever it is that he wants you to know. Let's go ahead and bring Dr. Bushner in. Dr. Bushner, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, sir. It's a joy to be here. Thank you, Dr. Walker, for inviting me to be on the show. I'm excited, and I thank God for this ministry that has gone out. I had a chance to listen to it last week, and I was blessed tremendously. And when you invited me to come on the show, I was looking forward to doing so. And so I'm glad to be tonight on the show. Yes, my name is Dr. Rupert Bushner, Jr. I've been pastoring now over 30 years. I'm presently pastoring in Huntsville, Alabama, the Mount Calvary Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I am excited about ministry because I love helping people. And I believe that in helping people, you're actually helping yourself. We are a social being. We are made that way. And so by helping others, you're really helping yourself. We're wired that way. And so that's what turns me on, seeing the light bulb come on in the lives of people, watching how they grow, and then being able to be there to see that growth is incredible because it's a miracle in itself. So I love talking. I love sharing. I love helping. And most of all, I love God. I love in helping people go to the next level. And so I'm excited tonight. You might hear my voice. Sometimes I tell people I'm so excited. I feel like a rock star. I just want to jump out in the crowd and have people pass me around. But it's good. It's good to be here tonight, Dr. Walker. And thank you for inviting me on the show.
Well, thank you. And I can tell that you enjoy talking. I do too. And I'm happy for that because what we may do tonight, they're letting me know that we may spend a great deal of time talking with you as opposed to taking a number of calls. We will take some calls and some comments. And we're certainly looking for your expertise in tonight's topic. We're going to begin with a story, a storyline. We always begin every show with a storyline, and we ask that you not only speak to the storyline, but also bring your area of expertise on the subject matter. Tonight's topic, once again, is does God impose his will on people when it comes to relationships or marriage? And this is only part one. In your opinion, just before I go to tonight's story, let me get a synopsis of your opinion. Do you think that God imposes his will on people when it comes to their relationship or their marriage, for that sake, which is a relationship?
Well, based on the word impose itself, seems to be contradictory to the character of God. And God is not a dictator, because a dictator is someone who would impose his will. Therefore, it would be impossible for God to impose his will. I won't say impossible. It would be against his nature, because God is love. Love can't work outside of just being able to be reciprocal of love based on the person's desire. Let me just say that again. Let me say it this way. In order for love to be love, love can't be required. And therefore, God is not going to God doesn't even require our love, because if he required it, it would be a dictator. And so God is not a dictator. He doesn't impose his will on us. However, he has a will, which is correct. When you say, does God impose his will? God does have a will for us. In fact, he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace, to give you a future. And it is God's will that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. So God does have in mind for us a good life. However, he gives us a choice. So he will not impose it. He's not going to force it on us. He will give us our freedom to choose, and that's how we grow, and that's what love does. It gives you the power, the ability to operate from your own volition.
All right, Dr. Bushner, let me just ask you a couple of questions on that line, and then we're going to go to tonight's story. You say that God is a God of love, and I understand, and God does not impose his will, but he does have a will. And I know that the Ten Commandments says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Aren't there conditions that God has? I mean, for eternal life, can we actually do whatever we want to do and expect to have eternal life because God is so loving? And then how does 10,000 people dying in a tsunami, you know, and that's love? Just explain those two things, and then we'll go on to the story.
And that is an excellent observation. There is great tension in what you just mentioned. How can God be love? And if God is love, how can 10,000 people lose their life? Well, let me begin by saying this. And you're right, there are conditions. However, we have choice, but with choices come consequences. Choices are like boomerang. We have the power to throw it out. However, coming back is what we don't like. Many times we'll make our own choice, but inside of every choice is a consequence. And we want the good, but we don't want the bad. However, if we want the good, then we have to be intentional about making better choices or decisions if we want the good. When regarding the 10,000 people, you know, that's amazing because this is what happened. God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge because they would die if they did. That prohibition was there not because God was being arbitrary, but God wanted them to grow into a relationship with him. The Garden of Eden was perfect, but it wasn't complete. What I mean by that is the environment was perfect. God made two perfect individuals, but the process wasn't complete in that Adam and Eve had to develop a relationship to say yes to God, even in their perfection. And what I mean, so therefore they weren't complete yet because God had to give them an option. When Adam and Eve chose to go against the will of God, God simply honored their choice. And now because he honored their choice, we have death, sickness, and disease, not because God is not loving, not because God is not fair. Death is a sign simply that God honored our foreparents, Adam and Eve, choice. And when it comes to us, when we wanted to choose to smoke cigarette and get lung cancer, God honored our choice. Now because of storms and horrific tsunamis and all of the disasters and all the things we find in our world, it represents God honoring our choice. That's why we're in a sin-sick, bankrupt world, because God honored Adam and Eve's choice. He said, don't eat. The day you eat, death and sickness will come. And they opened that door. And so through the first Adam, now we are in a mess. But praise be to God, according to Romans, there is a second Adam. And I know that's another story, but the second Adam has come to open the door to life eternal. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So here again, we're faced with a choice. If we choose that Adam, Christ, and walk in his favor, the condition that you mentioned will be complete in that he's not asking for us to live a perfect life, but he's asking us to live a perfect trust, have a perfect trust in him who will then live in us and complete in us the life that he wants us to live.
All right, well, let me ask this question. And you know, for some reason, as you present tonight, it just leads to another question, and I'm going to get to the story. You all that are waiting, we will get to the story. I do want to just present this. Let's give you a hypothetical here. Let's say you have two sons, and they're 2 years apart. One is 14, the other one happens to be 12. The 12-year-old seems to be doing everything, following the obedience of you, and I mean just honoring you and doing everything that you asked to do, doing everything that the mother asked to do. I mean an obedient child, a model child. But the 14-year-old is defiant, rude, disrespectful, and brilliant, but just has these characteristics. Now, which one of those, and yet you seem to give more attention to the older child, and the older child is not looking for that attention, and yet the younger child is not getting the attention that he deserves, and there seems to be some strife there. Now, but the older kid seems to be rewarded more. Is that fair? Is that fair? And
go ahead.
I just want to know, is that fair to the younger kid that he's not getting the attention that he desires and he's the obedient one, and yet the one who's defiant, rude, and disrespectful is getting everything, it seems?
You know what? You just now actually depicted the story of Luke chapter 15 regarding the prodigal son. Actually, it was a younger brother who left, and the older brother stayed home. And the older brother did everything he was supposed to do, but the younger brother got rewarded a party. Therefore, it seemed like the older brother who was defiant, he needed the attention. The younger brother who was obedient did not need as much attention. However, he should not be shortchanged when it comes to love. For if the parents, the parents should love them equally and treat them equally. However, ministering to them may vary depending on their growth and maturity. And so the one who is defiant, he may need a little more attention so that he can be brought into the fold. The one who's already in the fold, if they understand what their obedience, if it's coming from love out of their heart, then in a real sense, they will be understanding as long as they're not attention deprived. In other words, they need to know their love, and in that love, they become secure in understanding that this love, that this attention is giving to my older brother, is needed because he is out of control. And so you would have to really begin to network with that younger son and let him know it's not that we're neglecting you, but your brother needs some serious attention because we would love for him to be where you are and your obedience and your love and all of that. However, at the same time, parents should not love either one of them differently. Their love should be the same. And that's what God, and this is a theological issue here. Does God love the obedient more than he loved the disobedient? No. If God loved the disobedient less, then that means God's love is always determined on the object he loved, which means he's no longer loving unconditionally. So to love both of them equally is one thing, but to minister to them based on their need is another.
All right, let me ask you this, Dr. Bushton. Based on that, and we got to get to the story, and those of you all that are waiting, we'll get there, I promise you. The question becomes, then, is it fair for that younger son to be to have those feelings of neglect, even though you and the wife say, we love that younger child equally, but the older child seems to require more attention? And based on that, and then the analogy becomes now, how is it fair? How is it fair? And you answered the question, you said, you know, partially by saying, no, it's not fair. But how is it fair that our four parents, Adam and Eve, made a choice, a bad choice, but yet we continue to suffer from that, from a loving God? How do you explain that? How do you really explain that?
Well, that's an excellent question. It's because the way we actually were born, we're born in a Their disposition was passed on through us through the, in other words, if they had never sinned, we would have gotten the good from them. We would have
hypothetical. Sorry to cut you off. That's a strong, the word if there, the word if. And this is, you know, again, he says, if you love me, but there's a powerful if there, that prefix there, if. And so because of Adam and Eve's bad choice, is it really fair, you know, and I mean, people are asking this question. Is it really fair that humanity has to suffer because two people made a bad choice? And then just like that younger son, he's doing everything. The older son is not. And in that same scenario, the older son decides to still be rude, disrespectful, and disobedient. And then things happen to him, but some similar things are going to happen to that kid. I mean, you mentioned, yes, people may smoke, and they get lung, there's a consequence. But you still get people who get lung cancer that don't even smoke. See, so these things happen out here.
And so, you know what? I have a sister-in-law who died, and she didn't smoke. She had lung cancer. You're correct. The question then is when you talk about suffering and fair, is humanity the only one suffering? Would be another question. God's son suffered a horrendous death on the cross because of a choice that he had nothing to do with. Is that fair?
Right.
However,
right.
he made it possible so that those who want to get back home can through their own choice. Now, we can't change the condition, the problems, the bankruptcy of spirituality in the world. However, God himself took on the responsibility himself because the moment they sinned, praise God, he came looking for them. He could have written them off. But it was God who initiated the relationship. It was God who came looking for them in the garden in the cool of the day. It was mankind who was now hiding from God. And had not God taken that step towards us, which is salvation, we would have never come back on our own, because the Bible says we can't even find him if we began looking. It's because he discloses himself to us that we can know anything about him. Once we get to know more about him, we understand that now we live in a world that's not fair. Innocent people die of drive-by shootings. 11-year-old people get shot. You're correct.
I know.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So here we have some future shows coming up. Does God Test Man? We also have another one. Is it or was it all a test? A test. And then if it's a test, is it a test for the other worlds? Is it a test for the other worlds that God says, well, this is what happens when you sin to the other worlds? You get pain. You get death. These are things that the journey of all of this is suffering. This is a result of sin. So that the other worlds sort of, you say God is not a dictator, but the other worlds look and say, oh, I want to make sure that I follow the right path, you know, the path that God has chosen for me, so that I don't get caught up into living like those human beings on planet Earth. Because these are said, and he says, look for yourself. You know, woman has to go through pain when she has childbirth, you know, and she comes close to death during the same process. So, I mean, there's so many different things. Is it all a test? Was it a test? Does God test man? And what's the purpose behind all of that? Maybe those are questions that I just want you to ponder, and I'd like you to be my featured guest when we do these shows. Can I get an amen or a commitment?
Oh, yeah, I'd be glad to. I would be glad to, because, see, really, the questions that you're pondering has a lot to do with people's view of God, and your view of God determines whether or not you're going to serve or love God. And so I would love to come back on the show, and I know the heroes will be blessed, because theologically, I need to know God, because if I don't know him, in fact, the Bible says he's going to say to some, I never knew you. And then the reality is the man who had that one talent who hid it, he didn't know God, and that's why he acted the way he acts. So our behavior is directly related to our knowledge of God. You're correct. Yes.
All right.
I would be glad to come back and expound and share.
All right. All right. Let me get to tonight's story real quick, because we've already almost gone a half hour into the broadcast, and that's why this is part one, because I knew it would be an interesting night. Our characters in tonight's story are Oscar and Pauline. This couple met over 20 years ago in the last semester of college. That's when they met. Unfortunately, Oscar dropped out in his sophomore year because he felt that college was just not for him. His desire for college was actually to meet someone whom he, at the time, felt he could grow with educationally and have a successful life together. Pauline encouraged him repeatedly to finish, but it wasn't to no avail. They married shortly after her college graduation, and things went well in their marriage for the first 8 months. Shortly after that, things began to take a turn for the worse. Oscar started demonstrating a life that Pauline was simply not familiar with, which included he started drinking, he started smoking, and he started doing occasional drugs. For the next 2 years, Pauline experienced turmoil, unbelievable turmoil, to the point she wanted out. Her prayers all this time for the past 2 years were to no avail, as her husband did not change, not in the least. In fact, he got worse. He started staying out late, quitting jobs as fast as he could get it, partying, seeing other women. They have two small children who witness constant arguments between their parents. This, of course, is hurting the children. Pauline's faith has been shaken because of her seemingly unanswered prayers. Oscar does not desire to attend church anymore or do anything that she wants him to do. The question is, tonight, does God impose his will on people when it comes to their marriage or relationship? And would God impose his will on, and this is the question for you, Dr. Bushner, would God impose his will on Oscar to change?
That's a good question. I love it. You know, I can get to that question, does God impose his will on Oscar to change? Well, again, when we go back to their dating, I'm not sure about God imposing his will. They made a choice, number one. There's no guarantee, number one, in love. Let me just say that. There is no guarantee when it comes to loving someone that they will love you back. However, when love is done right, there is a law of reciprocity where as you love, if that love's come back, there is a circle of beneficence that is incredible. In other words, when you love like that, the relationship grows. But when a person doesn't love like that, there's a thing called the least interest principle. What happened is when Oscar started showing the least interest in the relationship, believe it or not, it's an oxymoron. He becomes more powerful than Pauline because Pauline has invested her emotions, her feelings in the relationship. She really wants it working. She's doing all she can to make it work. Oscar can care less. He's drifting. So she becomes more vulnerable because she's making more of an investment in the relationship. And that's why the least interest principle says the person with the least interest has more power, and therefore she's now in a game, playing a game where the rules have changed on her, and she's not using the same rules that he's using. So in other words, he's playing unfair because he's playing by different rules. Now, the question then is, well, God changed. Go ahead.
No, let me just interrupt you a second. I mean that sounds very theoretical. The person that demonstrates the least interest, and I've heard that paradigm as well, but I don't seem to subscribe to that, and I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, human nature is of such, and of course everybody's there extenuating circumstances for each person making their own decision. But I'm just thinking, if a person is showing, you know, me as a human being, if a person is showing a least amount of interest in me, I'm moving on from that person. No matter, I can be married to them for 10 or 15 years. But if they're demonstrated for me to put more energy into that person, it's almost like imposing my own will on their will, where they're kind of getting sidetracked. One thing about this show is we will keep it real on this show. And of course, we respect all people's opinions. But the reality of it is, if someone is pulling away from you, and because they're demonstrating a least a bit of interest, I don't see the laws of attraction trying to, you know, attach to that person. In fact, I see that where there becomes a separation. That's a human element. So, I mean, that's part of what I've studied, and that's part of what I've experienced. And then things objectively, I would think, have to make sense. So, I mean, when you're saying if he's showing, think about it now just for a second. If we go back to two sons, in the hypothetical, let's say your sons are of marrying age, and now you, having wisdom, you see that this older son, now he's 24, he's successful, and, you know, having graduated college, done a master's degree, and now he meets a young lady who's still kind of struggling through school, but she's showing that she doesn't have an interest like you feel in your wisdom she needs to have towards your son. Do you tell your son to input more into this girl to get her to change her mind? Do you, Dr. Bushman?
Well, absolutely no. You can't change anybody. That's number one.
Right.
You can't change anyone. Now, the least interest principle is more of an observation to say what is happening, because if somebody starts showing me least interest, number one, if I'm married to them, well, let's go back a little bit. Marriage is actually a big step. There's several things
right.
that need to take place before you get married. And when you get married,
yeah.
you got to realize you're signing up to ministry. Marriage is ministry. If you're not a minister, you're not ready to get married. Marriage is a person who goes into a relationship, and by the grace of God, God has allowed you, through your choice, to be placed in such close proximity where you're going to see defects and problems in a person that nobody else has access to. Therefore, God wants you to minister, but because, as you mentioned, human nature takes over, most of us run when problems come, and we don't know how to minister because we went into the marriage for the wrong reason sometimes. I can't go into a marriage for you trying to satisfy my need. I go into a marriage because I am so complete and so together, I'm going into it now to put my completeness on. When Adam got Eve, it was because he only needed her in the sense that he did not have the object of his affection to bestow his love and completeness on.
There were no choices, Dr. Bush said. There were no choices for Adam. There were no choices. It was only Eve.
Well, the prototype and the model of God's faith was, God said, this is now bone of your bone, flesh in your flesh. And by faith, he received her because that's who God presented. He didn't need no options because this is what the omniscient God of the universe is presenting. If he felt he needed to present him something else, he was presenting him the ultimate and the best in his presentation when he did.
Right.
So when he made Eve, he made the best of the best. And that was part of his bone, flesh from him. And when the presentation was made, no options were needed because here God is giving him the best. And therefore, in getting the best from God, just like when he got nature and he named animals, he received all of this from God by faith. Even now, he's received by faith. So there is an element of knowing God even before going into a serious relationship, which becomes a somewhat priority, you know, because God is the one who's directing you. If we go into a relationship without that direction, we could make some serious mistakes based on, like, Samson. I want her because she pleased me. Is that the reason why you want her? Is that the reason why you get into the relationship? Does the person please you? There are some steps. So Oscar and Pauline, there may have been some red lights before, and sometimes in relationships there are red lights, but we run through them and ignore them because we're so in love.
Right. Okay, we're going to actually stand by just for a second. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We're going to go to the phone line and take a call. We're going to go to 786, looks like 985. You're on the Dr. Walker Show. May I help? Who are we speaking with?
This is Miss X.
Miss X, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon, Miss X. Thank you for your patience and holding. Miss X, did you have a question or a comment?
Comment.
Yes. Go ahead, Miss X.
Oh, okay. So I've been listening to this discussion about whether God imposes his will, and also in how these two people in this relationship and the way things are going. First of all, when God handed down those Ten Commandments, that was his will, that we obey those commandments. When we say the Our Father prayer, we say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, on earth. So when we say thy will be done, we're accepting the will that he has handed down and saying to him that we intend to comply with that will. Now, the other thing I wanted to say was that, you know, people keep saying God was love, he was love, he was love. And no doubt he was love, but also he was a rebel. We have to understand when Lucifer got up there in his heaven and God's will was not being done in heaven, God, I'm sure he gave Lucifer a couple of warnings. I'm sure he didn't strike him in the beginning. You know, he tried to deal with him in whatever ways you deal with somebody in his heaven. But when Lucifer decided he was just going to overstep God in God's heaven, there was a mighty war that broke out. There was no turning the other cheek and that sort of thing. He struck him out and he threw him down from out of his kingdom. So, you know, it's the same thing. If you tell me in a relationship that I must tolerate, that I must put up with because I took that vow that says, you know how the vow goes, that you will, you're going to honor, well, you know how it goes. I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, I mean, be submissive in the whole nine yards, yeah.
Right. Okay, so, but the thing is, when that relationship or someone gets to be in that relationship like Lucifer was in heaven, God gave you something between those two ears called a brain and a capacity to think. and figure and solve things out. So, I mean, if I'm going to just stay in that relationship knowing that somebody else is not doing things, not only according to God's will, but not even my will, and I'm just going to stay in there, I think I will give them a couple of chances, just like I think God gave Lucifer in heaven. But he struck Lucifer down, and I think that at some point you have to say, you know what, enough is enough.
Well, Ms. X, we're going to ask you to stand by. Dr. Rupner, Dr. Bushner, we're going to ask you to respond to that. But I'd just like to say, see, that's the human element. And I agree certainly with that. And I know, Dr. Bushner, you're saying that we sign up for ministry. But the human element is of such, and this is just my thinking now. And, of course, we respect all of you as we did Ms. X's. But the human element is of such that people are not tolerating that. You've got people that for years, that prayed for years, and there was no change. And people were expecting God to make a change into somebody else's life when I don't see God imposing his will on that other individual. Otherwise, it would not be free will. It would not be free will. So while let's say Pauline is praying for her husband to make a change, then somewhere along the way she needs to be praying for peace for her. Then, Dr. Bush, we want you to respond to that. Go ahead, please, sir.
I agree. And Mitch, as mentioned before, Lucifer decided to live outside of God's will, and him leaving heaven, God putting him out, had to do very much with justice. In other words, Lucifer became a threat, not to God, but he became a threat to everybody who existed because he was spreading these false rumors about God. So therefore, eventually, love does stand up and say, wait a minute, we got to make it right. We got to deal with this. So there comes a time when judgment and mercy have to be dealt out together. So love is a perfect blend, and only God can do it because he knows more. God knows motives. He knows our hearts. So when God judges someone, it's because he knows every variable, every angle, every contingency plan there is to know whether or not a person will go left or right. He knows that. So when he administers justice, it's because it is time to deal with it in an omniscient way of dealing with it. And so now we don't know that. So we have to depend on God's will. We need to depend on God's word, because as humans, we limit it when it comes to knowledge. Therefore, we have to choose in our existence to live on the word of God. So number one, if I'm in a relationship with somebody and they committed adultery, the Bible says actually the only grounds out of a marriage is adultery. Now, Spicy, what are they beating on you? That's ground for separation. The Bible didn't say that you could divorce for that reason. However, you do want to get out of that environment where your existence and your well-being is threatened. So you can separate as long as you want to. Now, people say, well, what do you mean by that? The Bible only gives us the answer to what are the reasons for divorce? Adultery. Now, if I'm living on the word of God, like I'm living on the Ten Commandments and the will of God, then I've got to make a choice. I can choose to accept God's will, as she mentioned, when it comes to accepting it, or I can choose to reject God's will. Now, just like Oscar, who's choosing to reject God's will, he's living outside of God's will, doing this, that comes consequences, which means nobody actually sins in isolation. Oscar is being...
All right, but let me ask Dr. Bush, let me just interrupt you just for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, what makes you feel he's outside of God's will? Because he's choosing not to go to church, he's starting to drink, he's starting to smoke, and he's starting to see other women. But, you know, I mean, what if he still has his relationship with God?
The symptoms revealing to me that he really doesn't know God. Because, first of all, God says, husband, love your wives. That's a biblical mandate. Like I said again, if I don't have the Bible, I can't talk to you, because we're about to use another standard by which we're going to measure things. Now, the reason why I know he's outside of God's will is God's will for a man to love his wife, number one. In fact, the Bible says if you don't treat your wife right, your prayers get hindered. And then number two, she is bone of your bone, flesh in your flesh. Who would beat their own body? Who would mistreat their own body or their own person?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who pretty much don't have common sense. I mean, why would I mistreat myself? And there are a lot of people who do that. So if I'm mistreating my wife, I'm actually going against what God told me to do. He said, love your husband, love your wives. Wives, honor your husband. Now, she may be trying to, and it says, in the Lord. Now, she could honor her husband as long as it's in the Lord. Now, he steps outside, start doing his thing. Is his wife obligated to honor him? Well, that's we need a discussion. That's my sister mentioned. I wouldn't, you know, we need to have a discussion.
We do. We do. Dr. Bushman, is interesting. We've got about 18 minutes before we bring the show to a close. Ms. X, we're going to come back to you in just a second. We've got so many comments that are coming in. We welcome you all if you want to try to get in to this discussion tonight. I mean, there's so much stuff here that we're not going to be able to get it all in this 1 hour. But Ms. X, I want to go back to you just for a second, and because I don't know, it just seems like it just doesn't seem to fall in place. And I mean, what I mean by that is, it just doesn't seem like if and Ms. X, I got to put it out there because we do keep it real. Women can go through their hormonal periods, or they can go through whatever it is. They can be mad, and Dr. Bush, you know this about women too, and it's not that I'm picking on women tonight, but women can go through so many different stages until now that man is expected to continuously pursue her, loving her, and I get that. But then at some point, enough, Ms. X, as you said, enough is enough, and somewhere along the way there's going to be a turnoff. Because every time you look around and that woman is mad because of the four things that are common that a man does, is either what he says, what he didn't say. It's either what he does or what he didn't do. One of those four things is going to be prevalent all of his life as he's with a woman. And so now, at some point, he's turned completely off. Ms. X, in defense of women, what can you say about that? Is that fair to the man?
No, it's probably not fair to a man because I don't want to be biased. I mean, we each come with our set of.
Well, you were biased when you came on and you said probably. You said probably not. So that introduced a form of bias right there, Ms. X.
Well, the probably not is because I was thinking in terms of, you said, hormonal imbalances. And I can't speak for all women, but I don't think that those are things that we have every day that we, you know, that hormonal imbalances. I know there's a certain time of the month when they're probably a little bit more prevalent than others. And, you know, they come with from anywhere from mild to extreme behaviors. So, I mean, if you're dealing with someone who has these extreme behaviors, it may just be possible that you can rent a room somewhere.
Rent a room and do what?
Until after that time they come back, but then you're gonna have a whole new set of problems. Then you're gonna want to know what you've been all this time. So
right. See, that's a whole nother set of issues. Ms. X, we're going to ask you to stand by. Dr. Bushner, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Let's go to the phone lines again. We got to move a little faster. We're going to go to 954-417. Thank you for joining us on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have?
Hi,
I'm sorry, we're missing you. We got a lot of noise in the background. I'm sorry, who do we have this evening?
Sean.
Sean, thank you for joining us. Sean, give us your thoughts. Do you have a comment or a question?
I got in a little late on the story, but I really am sitting here enjoying both comments because the word of God is simple. He says this is what the love of God means, is that we observe his commandments, and yet his commandments are not burdensome. So anything that God brings to us is not difficult or troublesome. We as humans is the one that go overboard with it and want to impose our own will in our relationships, our personal relationships, that could be man and woman, boy or girl. But when we took on the love of God, we're imposing his life on our life. We're taking up his life for our life. So every day we're praying, for a life of obedience. And the only way you can do that is to demonstrate it through our actions. And just like the pastor said a few minutes ago, husbands have to love their wives as themselves. Who will hurt their own body? But
right.
men
right.
thinking, they do not think to that level. They don't believe that they are harming their wives and bringing detrimental situations into their marriage. I mean, how can you look at a woman that you just said these vows to, and I don't care how many years it's been, and you...
Okay, but let me ask you this, Sean. Let me just, because we got to move fast, so I'm sorry to cut you off, but doesn't that go both ways? And then you say the word of God is simple. What's simple about it when you have all of these different... If it was that simple, wouldn't you think we wouldn't have as many denominations as we have? And Dr. Bushman, we'll ask you to speak to that as well. So go ahead, Sean. You say that, doesn't it go, first of all, doesn't it go both ways with the man and the woman? And then secondly, how is the word of God simple when we've got so many different denominations and religions?
Because the love of God is a relationship. When you take out the difficulties when bringing in the different denominations and you're looking for a relationship, I mean, his personality, his character, a man that stepped out on his wife, and the word of God plainly, you should not have sexual immorality. You should not do that. But when you do that, you're saying he's still with God. No, he's not walking with God at this point. He's fine.
Okay.
There's no medium lane in loving God and going after his characteristics. It's either whose side you on, who you going to choose? You know, he said he'd come against the heavens and earth.
Right.
You have
okay,
to
Sean, we're
going to
actually stand
with your life.
Right. We're going to actually stand by just for a second. We got about 12 minutes. Dr. Bushman, we're going to bring you back in. Ms. X, we'll bring you back in. Sean, we'll come back to you. We got to take some comments. Go ahead, Dr. Bushman.
Yes, sir. You know what? Exactly right. You have variation because, again, God has expressed his word. He has given us a disclosure of what his expectations are. And the Bible says, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Now, you get a variation because of people's opinions and because of people's likes and dislikes. God hasn't
right.
changed. Man wants a tailored suit fit for his own life and existence. Therefore, he wants something that can adjust to him opposed to us adjusting to God. Now, when it comes
mm-hmm.
down to it, if you would just open that Bible and with an open mind, approach it with an open heart and say, thy will be done. As my sister mentioned in that prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're asking
right.
God's will to be done. Therefore, I need to know what his will is when it comes to A to Z. And when I tell you, are you humble enough, like in the army, to stand down and let my will be dominant in your life? That's what true humility is. I can do my own thing, but once I know the will of God, in humility, I stand down and let God will be done, because there's a way to seem right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. So I choose with
right.
my volition to listen to an omniscient God through his word, because his way has to be the right way, because he's omniscient, which means he knows everything. So it only makes sense to listen to somebody who's been there and done that.
All right. Dr. Bush, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Ms. X, we're going to bring you in for about 40 seconds, and then we'll come back to Sean, and then we got to take some of these comments. We've got to take some of them. Ms. X, go ahead, give us your thoughts.
My thought is that he does not, that he is in some sort of way imposing his will when he tells us that when he hands down the Ten Commandments and ask that we obey them. That is his will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And if you go against that, then we're not following what the Father's will is. And evidently it's the same will that he has in heaven, because that's, again, what we say in the Our Father prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So he expects that same will in heaven.
Okay. Dr. Bushman, please speak to that, just if you would, briefly,
yes,
so we can get some of these comments.
I have a question. Well, my question is, when GM or Ford put in the glove compartment, a book that says this is what you should do, the weight of the oil, how many times you should change it, that they're saying this is what gives your car longevity, this will help your car run good. So this is, these are what we're saying for you to do. Now, you can either say, I'm not going to let Ford impose their will on me about the car that I bought. I'm going to change it, or in fact, I'm going to put whatever weight I want in it. I'm going to do whatever I want to do with it. Well, good luck. God just shares with us, I created you. I know what's best for you. Hear what I'm suggesting for you to do. Yes, this is my will because I'm omniscient. If I'm the manufacturer and if I'm the creator and I made you, why would I go against what I made and tell it to do something that I know would cause it to malfunction? Therefore,
but isn't that, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, therefore, go ahead. I don't want to lose your train of thought.
No, I was going to say, therefore, to me, when you say imposing his will, I think more than anything, he's sharing with us his will. Imposing means to go against what we don't want to do. He's given us what we should do. And therefore, I think it's best for us. We do ourselves a great favor to ourselves when we listen to somebody who's been there. That's like, for instance, if somebody run around the corner and they come running back huffing and puffing, and they say, man, don't run around there. It's five pit bull dogs around there. And, man, one of them just almost bit me, man. I'm running back to tell you, don't go that way. Now, are they imposing their will on me or are they sharing information I need for my existence?
But, Dr. Bushman, I see it a little differently. I think that there is something we call imposing versus opposing, you know, opposing going against. But imposing almost as if it's required, it's a demand. And Ms. X, that's what she was putting out there. She's saying his will, this is his will that you do this. Of course, you don't have to do that. But if you want these certain conditions in your life, then this is what you'll do because this is my will. Ms. X, am I getting it wrong? Ms. X?
No, that's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
When we think in terms of the word impose, sometimes we feel like it's a real force. But you know what? It's almost as if, though, the way he explained it with the car. If you want your life to
that's
go well, you need the requirements. Now, you can do this, I mean, if you want to. But just know if you do something the opposite, these are the consequences that you're going to be faced with.
Right.
But I think he used the word impose because it is a strong verb, meaning that it's a definite requirement. I want this done, and I won't settle for less.
Right. That's what I'm saying here. We're going to ask you all to stand by. They're telling me I got to take some of these comments. Sean, I hope you're still with us just for a second. We're not going to be able to get to anybody else tonight. I mean, we wanted to try. This male writes in, he says, does God impose his will on people? Thank you for having taken my comment. I personally don't think God imposes his will on people in their relationships because if he did, people would simply think that they are together because God imposed his will when it may not be what they want. Dr. Bushner, what do you think about that? Just briefly because we got five minutes.
I agree with you wholeheartedly right there. If God make a choice for us, then we're going to blame God for the outcome of the relationship because I had no input in it. Therefore, God wants us to make our own observation. He wants us to make whatever necessary is needed to before we make the choice. And therefore,
all right,
go ahead.
I gotta just interrupt just for a second. See what you just said. You agree with the comment. But then isn't that what Adam did? He said, the woman that you gave me, the woman that I didn't have a choice for, but the woman that you gave me. How do you explain that?
And that's because now the whole nature of the relationship changes because of sin. See, on the other side of obedience, on the other side of temptation is what God never wants us to experience. There's nothing wrong with being tempted. But once we yield to temptation, on the other side of that is an experience that God never wanted us to experience, and that is once we sin, it changes the nature of our relationship with God. It changed our relationship with people. In other words, Adam and Eve were so close to you. I mean, she was his – I mean, He was Adam's main boom coon. She was all that because he loved her in a perfect love. Sin changed that. Now he's ready to throw Eve under the bus because sin destroyed everything. It changed everything. The woman
I know,
he loved,
I know.
Now he's saying to God, God, get her. He knew he was supposed to die, but he was saying, oh, Lord, kill her. She the one that did it. I mean, the whole of sin changes
she
the dynamic.
She did it, but it was, she did it, but God required Adam. He gave Adam. He handed down the message to Adam, not to Eve.
True, but I'm saying his responsibility was to God. See, what we do, when we make a covenant, we're not
Don't
making
blame
a covenant for the person.
Blame.
We're making a covenant. I'm saying what sin does. Sin causes us to blame other people.
Uh-huh.
Before that, Adam loved her so much that he was willing to do it. But once he experienced sin, now the nature of being there for her when she needs him changes. He's leaving her out, and that's what sin does, what I'm saying. It leaves you out there by yourself.
Okay.
Before
All right.
Sin,
well, hang on a second. Ms. X, we're going to actually stand by just for a second. And it is the woman's fault. She started all that, but I won't say that over there. I was just playing about that one. But they're both equally responsible, I think. As a matter of fact, I think that God was probably more disappointed in Adam than he was Eve, because it seemed like he just didn't stand up to what was right. But anyway, that's a whole other show. Let's go to Dr. Bush. Go ahead.
Real quick. Can I say this real quick for clarity? We're in sin not because of Eve. We're in sin because of Adam.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That I agree with you fully right there because of Adam. And let me go. So Ms. X, I was just throwing that out there. We'll strike that from the record. Let me go to Sean. Sean, let's bring you in. And I'm going to try to get some more comments. Go ahead, Sean. Give us your thought.
I think I'll wait for part two.
You wait for
I'll wait for part two. But
okay, all right.
Just keep perceiving what the will of God is for your life. Our whole objective is the will to live according to God's personality and his ways. That's all. You know, he let us get an opportunity to think for ourselves and be molded by our decisions and our influences with our actions. But who are we actually looking at to do all that? We've got to keep him in the forefront of everything that we're dealing with. We're trying to imitate him. He gave us a perfect model that was Jesus in everything that we do. But I'm waiting for part two.
All right.
And
we're going to try to.
Great discussion.
We're going to. Let's see. They're telling me that we are running out of time. In fact, we are out of time. It's been a great show tonight. Dr. Bushner, let me just bring in Ms. X just for her final thought. Just as Sean did, those of you all we weren't able to get to, we do apologize. This always happens to us. Let me bring in Ms. X. Ms. X, you got 20 seconds, and then we're going to give Dr. Bushner a final thought.
I'm going to let him have it.
Okay. All right. Does God impose his, tonight's discussion was, does God impose his will on people when it comes to their marriage or relationships? This has been part one. We're trying to, they're letting me know whether we'll do part two next week or by bumping one of the other shows. But Dr. Bushner, in a summary, what can you tell the people? Because it's been quite controversial tonight, and we weren't even able to get to all of the comments. We weren't able to get to all the callers. I mean, what can you tell them to expect for part two?
I would simply say keep an open mind. I would say that God is omniscient, and because he is, he can be trusted. And whatever his will is, and as my sister said, maybe the verb is too strong. However, I know one thing about God, and that is he delights in us. He loves us with an everlasting love. And whatever his
right, but
will
just a quick,
is.
Right. Go ahead. Give it that point. Whatever his will is.
Whatever his will is for our lives, it can be trusted. We can trust him.
Right. But with him being omniscient, don't you think that he even knew that Lucifer, Satan, or the devil would turn out to be what he was, that he turned out to
be,
and taking a third of the angels with him? So was it all a test?
He knew that. And I don't have time to expound on it because there is a philosophy I have.
That's a great question. And that's what I was going to bring in.
Time will not allow me now, but let me just say this. God knew it was going to happen, but his foreknowledge did not ordain it to happen. He just knew.
Okay. He still had a choice. Go ahead.
And in his choice, he chose to do something that was downright ridiculous, and that is to go outside the will of God.
Okay. On that note, we are clearly out of time. I want to take this opportunity to thank our featured guest this evening, Dr. Rupert Bushner Jr. He's pastor, and I want to go ahead and over the air just thank him for taking time out. And we certainly look forward to letting me know now we can do part two next week if you are available, Dr. Bushner.
Yes, I should be. I'll be glad to. This is wonderful. I enjoyed the comments. I enjoyed the conversation, and I would be delighted to be back.
Okay, then we'll go to part two.
And learning.
Right.
Yes,
those of you all that are tuned in tonight that we weren't able to get to, join us early enough. Start trying to get in as early as 6:45 so that we'll be able to go straight to you all early like those that have called in. I want to thank you once again, Dr. Bushner, and we look forward to next week. Sean and Ms. X, we thank you all for tuning in to us, and we were only able to get to you all. The one comment that we got to, we will do more next week. I promise you we're going to do our very best by getting them in earlier, and we'll try to catch some of the comments that came in tonight as well. Listen, we've got to go. We're out of time. Until this Friday, join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, if you choose to bypass Friday, join us back here live next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show and part two of Does God Impose His Will When It Comes to People and Their Relationships or Marriage, part two, with our featured guest once again will be Dr. Rupert Bushner Jr. He's a pastor, so you will definitely want to hear him. Put this out on social media. Let your friends, let your families know. Feed the children early so that you can tune in to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I'll say my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.